Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Shell Cottage Radio is brought to you by The Lottmans.
Dankeschön.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as your friendly tech wizard and the former captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team, the flannel wizard, yours truly, me. Wow. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Blur.
Hiya, schön, dass ihr da seid. Willkommen zurück to our little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Come on in. This is the 17th episode of Shell Cottage Radio, in which we will discuss Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, Chapter 9, The Midnight Duel. Before we fire up today's chapter discussion, we will do a little cottage catch-up, quiz Bill and trivia, and expand our knowledge about magical and fantastic worms.
Oh, that was...
Watermelon seltzer. Hi.
Wow, that was a nice, long, you know what I'm saying? Like a long open.
It was really good.
If that makes sense.
I gotta admit it.
A long open.
I didn't even see you do that.
So, anyway, so are we into
the ketchup.
cottage ketchup, huh?
Yeah.
Well, we've had an interesting day. Interesting couple of days.
Yeah.
Actually. So, met some good friends.
Really, really cool. We met some wonderful people. Two awesome Ravenclaws.
Oh, yeah.
Christine and Anna.
Yeah. You know, and we were saying before, I was like, I bet they are. I mean, we should have actually really done a little wager, you and I, as to what we thought, which house they were going to be in.
We should have, yeah.
But I think, because I could have guessed that. I really could have guessed that they both were Ravenclaw, and I just didn't. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. It was cool, yeah. Yes, we had breakfast. We had like a music and arts festival in the area.
Yes.
It worked out. I don't know. Like, so they kind of came up to visit for a weekend, mm-hmm. and they were in the area and everything. So we got to meet them and talk, and their story is very similar to ours.
Right.
Which is really interesting, very unique, actually.
It was very unique and also very cool to just talk to, you know, other international couples and what they go through. And it's not just that they're international, but they also have the combination of German and American. So
Yeah.
And that's cool. You know, they just listened to the cottage cast. And
yeah.
Reached out to us, and I thought it was so cool that, I mean, what are the chances that they one day just listen? And they're huge. They're also huge Lord of the Rings fans.
Yes,
and
big time,
had,
big
like,
time.
Amazing t-shirts. Like, the artwork on the shirts was
I know.
Breathtaking.
So they're from Weta Workshop, mm-hmm. and they were there for they're in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And they got to sort of see Hobbiton, if you will, and whatnot. So we'll probably post a picture over on our social media, on our story,
yes.
or something. Or maybe we'll just post a photo,
we'll
and you guys can go
post it right away after the show.
Yeah. And you guys can go kind of check it out. So just a lot of fun, just really good people. And you know, we always say at the end of the show, we're down to meet new positive Potter people.
And that's exactly what they are.
Exactly what they are. And that's the whole, I guess, you know, the purpose is, ever since I started doing podcasting and I've just been going to conventions and getting out there and meeting different people, there's so many good people in these fandoms. And, yeah. you know, and Arna also plays D&D. And so if you play D&D,
really?
You're just a good person.
That's cool.
Straight up. You just are. I mean, you know, so because we were just talking a little bit about that and different fandoms and games and stuff. And it was just so cool So easygoing. I actually wish we could have hung out longer and and chatted or whatever. Unfortunately, common in my life is to have car trouble. So that was another debacle. And they
should hit Arthur up if he could like fix our car.
Could you imagine?
Just
come do a little work on it and figure out a way to make it fly again. Yeah. Oh, that'd be so cool. But no, that was really fun. I mean, we got to go out last night and listen to, we were just walking and talking and stuff. We got some ice cream. We got a chance to see the Music and Arts Festival, which I forgot was going on. Mm-hmm. We have like, our downtown is pretty, pretty hopping sometimes.
Yes. And I'm so glad for the local shops here that they close the road so you can just walk down the road and you can finally, normally you just drive by and you never really stop to walk in the shops and see what they have.
Right.
And this is perfect for them because everyone loves checking out their local goodies, you know?
Well, and so I can't think of the name of the shop right off the top of my head, but it's just down, because today we took the Lottmans to Paragraph Bookstore. Love Paragraphs. Yes. And I talk a lot about them and my sort of my book journey. So if you ever listen, if anyone here wants to listen to my Lord of the Rings podcast, where my buddy Lane and I and Lottie's over there as well, we talk a lot about
here and there.
Oh, here and there. You know, Rosie's there. She's there.
Yeah, Lane's back.
Yeah, but don't worry, Strider's Rosie's back. Over there. It's fun. It's you should go. Yeah, we have some good laughs and we have some all around. I mean, even when Sarah's on, we have a really. Really good time. But I have talked over there a lot about my book journey and where that started today. I didn't even get a chance to really introduce you was Lois Hansen, who is the woman who was there at the and
she seems super nice.
So nice and so wonderful. And she kind of, you know, pitched a few books to me and different things. I'd read Harry Potter, you know, I'd read Lord of the Rings or whatever. And so she was really instrumental in kind of like getting me deeper into fantasy genres and series and stuff. And it's just, it was a lot of cool, just a great experience. And so where I'm going with that, though, is that if you ever are in Mount Vernon, number one, stop by there. It's Paragraphs Bookstore. It will be there.
Yeah,
really, really cool store. And just say, Ez sent you and what have you, because they're just good people there. Max is there, Lois is there, and others. And then down a couple stores down, there was the, I don't even know the name of that store, but they had the old typewriters.
Yeah.
They had the hanging lights. I don't think
unique stuff.
I would not have taken you in that store had that festival not have been going on.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those rare opportunities where you go in, I'm like, oh yeah, my mom used to come here. Like we used to get Christmas gifts here and stuff.
Oh,
and for mom, like she loved that kind of stuff. So like different glass works and I don't know, things that like, what's the word? They tinkle? Tinkle sounds weird, but like it's like the noise where like different little metal objects, like a wind chime. It kind of like it's a store full of tinkles. I don't know what to say. It's just, it's fun. We saw like there was like fancy hats in there, pocketbooks, purses, pockets, and
books,
purses and books.
Maybe from local.
Yeah, local authors, children's books and stuff in there, which was really cool. So, but anyway, it was cool. It was really fun, and I don't know. I think other people, I know in Ohio, there's a lot, there's like this big move to kind of do a get back to your downtown.
Yes.
So they've been kind of like revitalizing the downtown and doing things like this. Like we have it, it's called First Friday. I think a lot of other towns have it too, where you go to the city center, if you will, and you kind of shut it down, which is a little annoying for people who are like traveling around,
but
fun.
But still, it becomes like a, you know, a mini version of Diagon Alley where you can...
It does. Check it does kind of feel like that, right? It's like, the little shops are there. Yeah. The road's open and you can walk on the road.
Yeah.
And there's food trucks, ice cream, tons of different stuff. So it does really have that feel. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's been our last couple of days and it was fun.
It was a wonderful experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
So shout out to
Christine
and Arna.
Yeah.
Now I say Arna like you guys do. Anna.
Yeah, I know.
I know sometimes it sounds like you said Anna.
I was trying to say it the German way, and then I was just like, I ended up saying,
Arne.
Yeah. It's the R. Arne gets me. It's the stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You Germans and your R's.
Yeah.
They're so different. But no, just really good people, solid people, and we had a good yummy breakfast over there. That's the other thing. I don't think I've ever said North Main. If you're ever coming to Mount Vernon.
Best little cafe spot for breakfast.
Yeah, our local town here, just nearby, we... We live, I mean, outside of town, but it's such a nice little spot and good food.
And so. It was packed. You can tell. Like, oh, this is the place to go on a Saturday morning or Sunday. No, Sunday. Yeah, Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the lines are so long and you have to fight for your table.
Yeah. So that was good. The car is still smoking. We'll work on that later. But
That's okay. It's just life and you.
It's just life.
You know what Hagrid always says, what's coming will come and we'll meet it when it does. So.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll
figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. All right. So.
All right. So, Bill, are you ready for some sweaty, tricky
questions? Sweaty, that's for sure. Yeah.
Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
And it has something to do, like, a little bit with your favorite professor.
Okay.
First question. Who dueled Hermione Granger in Professor Lockhart's dueling club?
What?
In the book, it was not just Harry and Draco, but they had different pairs dueling each other. Who dueled with Hermione Granger?
I do not remember. I'm guessing, you know, you want to think it's Ron, but Ron, that's later on.
No, I give you that hint. It's a Slytherin.
Is it Millicent? What's her name? Bulstrode or whatever?
Millicent Bulstrode. Bulstrode. Not bad, though. Bulstrode. Just the one hint of being a Slytherin.
Yeah.
Because I would have said Pansy Parkinson is like the go-to Slytherin girl.
Yeah, her name pops up a bit more later. But it's like I was thinking, you remember when they're in the DA?
Yeah.
And I have that classic image of those two, you know, pairing off or whatever. And Ron walks over to his brothers. He's like, yeah, let her do that. Like,
yeah.
It's good manners. It's good manners. It's so ridiculous.
No, but get this. Millicent and Hermione were paired together doing the short-lived dueling club. Their duel spiraled into a physical wrestling match.
Oh, yeah.
With Millicent holding Hermione in a headlock in spite of the standard no contact rule in dueling. Hermione's friend Harry Potter came to her rescue, breaking the two girls up.
Wow.
And that's actually how I think that's how she was like, here, I have some hair.
She got the hair, yeah. She thought she did.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. Huh. Wow. Yeah. You know, I should have known that. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Because I do love that scene. I love the dueling scene.
Me too.
I love Lockhart. He knows what he's doing. I feel like people need to give him a bit more credit. The fact that he brought in a dueling club is pretty... Not that it wasn't there before. I mean, there's elements, but it was like his idea to really make it a...
I know. It's actually a cool idea. And I vividly, though, remember when they played the trailer for the second movie on TV.
Yeah.
And one of the core scenes was like Harry and Draco like facing each other with their wands.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, scared Potter.
Yeah.
You wish.
And everyone's like,
the coolest
yeah.
thing in the whole wide world.
It was so cool. And the kids are like, yeah, let's go, Potter. Get him. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I remember that. It was awesome. Okay. And second question from Prisoner of Azkaban.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What was Aunt Marge's dog's name?
Ugh.
Yeah. So when I read it, I'm like, yeah, obviously. Like, not
It's a very classic dog name.
Yeah, I
right?
would say. Mm-hmm.
But isn't it sort of like, hold on a second. Mm-hmm. I want to say I can't even remember. Like, isn't it Commander General Butch? It wasn't a really strong name. Strong sounding name. Give it to me. What is it?
starts with an R.
Reginald?
No.
Darn it.
It's Ripper.
Ripper?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Of course it's Ripper. I knew that. I 100% knew it was Ripper. Wow.
She was one of her 12 bulldogs. 12.
Yeah, 12. Yeah, she's
was obsessed with bulldogs.
A breeder, right? I think
mm-hmm.
she.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ripper she brought to the house. Do you think, like, you know, how do you choose if you have 12 of them? Was that her favorite?
Probably, yeah, who knows? I mean, she, yeah. But is he magical? I don't know.
No.
No, I'm kidding.
He's just a bulldoggy.
Yeah, yeah.
But almost as interesting as bulldogs is our fantastic beast of this week's Maggie Zoology lesson.
Okay.
What, you rescue these creatures?
Yes, that's right. Rescue, nurture, and protect them. I'm gently trying to educate my fellow wizards about them.
Welcome to her weekly Maggie Zoology lesson. Bill and Fleur want to learn even more about magical creatures and fantastic beasts and share this knowledge with you guys so we can all appreciate them more. Newt would be so proud of us. So this week, we'll take a closer look at the flobberworm.
Flobberworm?
Isn't that a movie?
Flubber?
No, that's Flubber. That's
yeah, different. Flubber's amazing, and it's like got Robin Williams in it. It's like the green little things. You know, I've actually had dreams where I was playing basketball and mm-hmm. I put some flubber on my shoes and I could jump out of the gym. Like I could just jump all over that
through
gym.
Through the roof?
Oh, I was dunking left and right. People are like, how's this guy getting all the hops?
Well, that'd be cool for volleyball too.
Oh, it'd be great, right? You'd just be
oh yeah,
massive spiking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
So I'm guessing the flubber worm though is not anything close to that cool.
Well, this is I think the first beast that we cover that has a classification of just one X, which stands for boring. Mm. It's an official Ministry of Magic classification, boring.
Aww.
So the flubberworm, according to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, lives in damp ditches, a thick brown worm reaching up to 10 inches in length. How much is that? I should look that up.
That's almost a foot. So it's 2 inches shy of a foot. You see my foot right here? Do you see it?
Okay. Yeah. Like your whole foot is 10 inches.
It's more than that.
10 inches.
But yeah.
In cm. So Google says 25 centimeters. Wow. That's for a worm, that's pretty long.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, I look foot.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You have a long foot. One end is indistinguishable from the other. Both producing the mucus from which its name is derived and which is sometimes used to thicken potions. There we go. The flubberworm's preferred food is lettuce, although it will eat almost any vegetation. So it's plant powered.
Wow.
Yeah.
Enjoy some lettuce, like iceberg lettuce or...
Probably, but also vegetation. So anything, okay, really. Okay. But cool is... It is a common ingredient in potions to thicken them. So I was going to ask you...
So wait, you toss a full flubber worm in there to...
No, just the mucus they...
Extract? Mucus?
Yes, that's what they do. They.
I hope no one's eating like
it's
soup.
It's almost like...
Right now.
It's almost like flubber worm poop, I guess.
Ugh.
Yeah. And it is used in the Wiganweld potion, herbicide potion, and the sleeping draught.
Okay. Wow. So you thicken it just to make it, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Thicker, what? Not as runny, I guess. I don't know.
Does it help with going down? Does it make the potion more potent? I mean, we need a potions master in here. Snape? Slughorn? Excuse me?
The only description is the mucus from the flubberworm is sometimes used to thicken potions.
Wow. See, okay, I'm glad you clarified because I thought for a second we'd have just, you know, flubberworms in our potion and they're just like,
no. That
would definitely make it thicker.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a whole bunch of them squirming around and you had to drink that, oh, gosh.
I have a theory.
Okay.
Maybe because if it's thicker, it will run down into your stomach slower because it needs to be released slower and not like...
Okay, that's kind of
cool. I don't know. Like biologists or doctors would say, no, that doesn't make a difference. Come on, Lottie.
I don't know.
It was just
like
a theory.
you know that like pink that pink medicine that we have in the fridge that you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
So for you here, I mean, I think like, do you guys have that in Germany?
I have never seen this kind of pink medicine.
Pepto-Bismol or whatever it's called.
I don't know.
Yeah. So it coats the stomach. The commercials are great because they mm-hmm. show it slowly going down the esophagus and slowly covering the stomach. And you're like, oh, that's so smooth and you know nice. So. Yeah, I don't know. See, yeah, okay, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be the thickener, you know? The what? Guy who just goes and, like, with the chef or whatever, like, all right, this soup's all ready to go. Get the thickener in here. Right? And so I come in. I got my stuff. I got my, you know, different, like, flubberworm sauce or whatever.
Okay.
And it's my job to get that thickening just right. So what you're doing is you're just tossing some flubberworm mucus in mm-hmm. there, and you're taking your ladle or your spoon, and you're just lapping it up like this, and you're just doing, like, this little – I wish I could do a sound effect for you guys right now. Like, the little – and it's just, like, you know, trying to see if it's got the right thickness.
Your description, though, makes me wonder if ever there is, you know, like – the wizarding world seems more like everyone's more like self-sufficient, and you have your, we don't really know that much about their daily life in terms of where do we go and get our groceries? Where do we, you know, like buy our things? And it makes you think like, does everyone, if you want a certain potion, I mean, I guess you can probably buy like pre-brewed potions at Diagon Alley or somewhere. Are they mass produced? Do you have like a big potion factory where like a magical factory where they produce things?
That's an interesting question. So you know what, we like the whole thing with food is that you can't can't conjure it, can't whatever, but Hagrid can take his pumpkins and make them super big.
Yes, I guess you can alter the vegetables a little bit,
the food and stuff. I wonder to what extent though, to when it's just like, okay, actually now it's distorted it beyond.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe he, you know, like maybe they don't they just look big, but maybe they don't taste good because how, you know how when you were little and you had like a little gummy bear, and if you put it in water and you let it sit for like 1 or 2 days, it becomes really, really big. But if you want to eat it as a kid, you're like, oh, great, I have a huge gummy bear. But if you eat it, it tastes gross because there's not more sugar or anything in it. It's just now very watery. I feel like that could happen to the pumpkin where there's no, you know, like the starch or whatever it's in there, the sugar, the nutrients, all of the essence of the pumpkin doesn't get more, it just gets bigger, and it's,
you know, I get you. So now, I know what you're thinking too, is like in terms of occupations in the wizarding world. Yeah, we always hear Ministry of Magic, and you know, you think of Diagon Alley shop owners and stuff, but There's got to be like maybe a local, I don't know, somebody who works like a magical, back in the day anyways, a magical blacksmith or something who was, I don't know, maybe he did some work on your, the thing that holds the broom hairs to the broom or something. I don't know, you know, like something.
Oh, for sure. So. There's probably been some magical items besides them.
Yeah, true.
Oh, there's so many topics we could talk about. I don't know. I feel like we're drifting off topic.
Hey, I didn't start this. I did not start.
It's fun to expand your, you know, like knowledge, imagination, the world, and ask those questions. So I don't know. What do you think? Is there mass production potion factory?
Oh yeah, I feel like there would be for common stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Question. Sweetie,
you forgot. You didn't forget. Slam on me.
Would you want to have a flubberworm?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
I don't like worms.
Oh, me neither.
I don't like worms. Sorry. We were doing a paint job the other day. We were helping my dad. And there was this pile of bricks out back, and we were painting. And the lady that lives there, super wonderful lady, comes over and, you know, holds up one of these bricks. And she's like, hey, check this out. And there's like literally they're full of slugs. Tons of slugs and worms.
Oh, that was before I joined
and
little, you guys.
Yeah, yes, and I didn't tell you about it because they crawl out of there. They get on you. They're just full. Every brick had like a little curled up like slug or worm or thing inside of it.
Yeah,
and
I feel bad though for those creatures. They just gross everybody out, and everyone just steps on them and kills them. But
sorry. Well, I mean, it's also like snakes. I'm out. I'm out on snakes. Yeah. Sorry. Some people love them, and more power to those people, but that I'm just not one of them, you know? Like, snakes are fine just somewhere away, far away from me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I'm out on the flubberworm. Sorry.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Agreed. No discussion about that. Okay, move on. Potter Watch.
Potter Watch. Okay, so friends, I had nothing today, but Lottie came up with our Potter Watch for the day, and it's kind of a bad one. We were out walking around with the Lottmans, And you just dropped this on me out of nowhere and said that the Hogwarts Legacy game is delayed.
Yeah, some content creators over on YouTube have posted videos. I have not had time to fully watch the video, but looks like Hogwarts Legacy has been delayed.
So by like a couple months or something, but not like majorly. So like maybe January, February or something. So, I mean, hopefully that means the game is better. Hopefully it means whatever. But, you know, I don't know. It just kind of, it's a bummer because I wanted to play it sooner rather than later.
Yeah, especially and now, for Christmas. It would have been fun because we have
so cool.
some, you know, days off there. And
yeah.
Would have had time to really.
Yeah, to like set something up or whatever.
Well, now the release date is February 10, 2023.
February 10. Okay.
Okay. That's right after my birthday.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. A little birthday, yeah. Okay, so maybe that's better, and maybe that's gonna be What's the reason for that though? Is it because of they need extra time? They looked and said, okay, the game makers are kind of saying, hey, we've got some last minute stuff we got to do here, and we don't want to release this and have to do a whole bunch of updates right away. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, what the deal is, but sometimes you have to fix certain things probably. I'm guessing yeah. Like because they were planning on the holidays releasing it during the holidays, that they're now in the what do you call it beta phase or something.
Sure. I have no idea.
They're testing the game and they're trying to fix certain things and maybe they found something major they have to fix.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all right. That's it. That's disappointing, but I will wait. I always kind of say, whether it's a book or a game or a TV show, I want the best version of it. So if you need an extra three or four months, I mean, sure. We used to wait a lot longer for stuff.
Oh, that's true.
And anymore, it's like there's so many things competing for, like just in terms of tech and games and video and content and stuff.
Movies,
it's wild.
TV shows, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm down to wait. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And more time to, you know, for positive like anticipation and getting ready and talking about it and. Yeah, but I can't wait to play it. All right. We're on to our chapter discussion. Do you want to play rock, paper, scissors again?
Okay, sure. Ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. I win.
Wow. That means you read it?
That means you read it.
Well, last time you said you read it.
What are you talking about?
I can try and read it. Have fun editing. Chapter 9, The Midnight Duel. This week, the Firsties are finally starting their flying lessons, a class Harry has been most anxious to try. To his horror, they are paired with the Slytherins, and he really didn't want to make a fool of himself on a broomstick in front of Draco, who has been bragging about his incredible flying skills from day one. A few Firsties, such as Neville, though, have never been on a broomstick in their lives. Poor Neville is afraid to be left behind on the ground and kicks off before Madame Hooch can even give the start signal. We know Hogwarts is supposed to be one of the safest places in Britain, but the school brooms definitely need a checkup. Neville's broom, sensing his fear, immediately zooms off and Neville falls 20 feet back down on the ground. Madame Hooch quickly takes him to the hospital wing and leaves the rest of the class with all their brooms outside, in good faith, they wouldn't dare start anything foolish. Malfoy, though, already found Neville's Remembrall on the ground and challenges Harry to come and get it, skillfully taking off on his broom. Harry cannot let him get away with it, and when Malfoy throws the Remembrall far away, Harry zooms off on his own broom and catches the little glass ball in a spectacular dive. Professor McGonagall cannot believe when she looked out of her office window what she's witnessing. She runs down to get Harry, who thinks he's certainly going to be expelled, and introduces him to Gryffindor Quidditch captain Oliver Wood. Harry just became the youngest seeker in history. Draco and his buddies cannot believe that Harry got that lucky, and Malfoy, probably full of jealousy, challenges Harry to a midnight wizard's duel. Despite Hermione's desperate warnings, Harry and Ron eagerly agree to meet Malfoy at midnight to fight him in a duel. 11:30, they leave the common room not without Hermione following them to try and stop them, as well as Neville, who had forgotten the password and was lost outside the common room anyway. The four quickly realize that it has all been a trap, and Malfoy had given Filch a hint that he might find students out of bed tonight. Filch almost catches them all running around when the four Gryffindors flee into a room that turns out to be the one on the forbidden corridor. Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Neville now understand why exactly it is forbidden for students. A giant three-headed monster of a dog looks down on them, caught off guard by their sudden appearance. The four kids immediately turn around and run for their lives back to the Gryffindor common room, to their relief, undetected. Hermione points out that the dog was guarding a trapdoor and storms off to bed. Neville, completely in shock, fails to say anything, but it dawns on Harry that he just found out where the small little package from the Gringotts vault was hidden.
You know, I always forget that Neville is around for so much more than
we realize. That's what I was going to talk about in the chapter.
Okay, like, sorry. But
I completely forgot that Neville was there when they met Fluffy.
Yeah, yeah. I love Neville. Neville's honestly one of my favorite characters. Yeah. And I, you know, going back doing rereads and stuff, you're sort of like, yeah, he's a bigger deal. He's around
totally.
More. This whole chapter is like his rememoral and then him.
Yeah.
That we weren't sure if he was going to be a wizard and he wasn't allowed to be on his broom. And then he's forgetting the password. And here he's just always around.
Yes.
And at the very end, to start jump ahead here, he gets the point or two that they need to push Gryffindor over the edge.
I know.
For the House Cup.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. So, okay, I guess just as we jump into this chapter, you know, no underage magic, but broom flying is okay.
Yeah.
Just want to throw that out there. So they're all flying around on their brooms.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, that's not magic.
Yeah, it's underage like you're magic. Just using a magical device, and I guess that's okay.
Yeah, so same sort of way that, I mean, like with the car, I guess later on too, it's Arthur is the one who charmed the car.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, here's something. We talk about like wand making, but imagine like a broom. There has to be something to make those brooms magical, if that makes sense.
Remember, remember last episode we were wondering, could Muggles brew potions? And we totally did some research on that. And no, the answer is no. You need some magic, some wand work to make potions work.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's my question. Can Muggles, if they're given a broom, can they fly?
Can they fly?
Could
so
Hermione Granger have her parents fly around?
Yeah, it's weird. So it's an interesting thing. A lot of them were flying prior to this point.
Yeah.
So I guess I wonder, Madame Hooch's like instructions are, put your hand over your broom and say up, right?
Right.
So it has to be a magical broom. First of all, it can't just be any broom. So Hermione could not have walked to her closet and pulled out the broom and said up. But my question, I think, is for a lot of us, did you go and try that? Because, I mean, right? Like, who did? Just to see, you know what I mean? Because what if you and I were like, you didn't have a broom growing up?
No, we just had a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, you had a lot of carpet?
Mm.
We had brooms. Then we had to sweep. And I also was in charge, by the way, when I worked at Hardee's. Shout out to Hardee's and Long John Silver's. I chose to sweep the floors when we were closing at night. Why? Because I took my good old time going around there real thorough. Like, boy, he does a good job brooming up that floor. Sweeping it up. I spent hours doing it. It's very, very nice. Very, very therapy. But anyway, so yeah, you just take a broom out. Like, what if you and I are sort of like Hermione? We didn't know. We didn't get our letter. We're here in America. I was anyways. So, and you know, what if I went out and I just, again, it has to be a magical broom, but you're sort of like, man, try it. It's worth a try. So I thought that was interesting too, whether or not they, how are they constructed? What's the charm? Is there a charm you put on it or something? Is it a special type of? Yeah, and then can
maybe I mean, remember how with wands they have a core from a magical being? I wonder if you have like a dragon, that would make sense to have a flying beast.
Yeah,
have the flying magic somehow in there, and it's mostly made out of wood.
Maybe we should. I'm sure you already have like an EE edition, but I just was
let's
thinking,
do it. No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, okay. Let's
here
talk about. Let's look up some more on brooms and flying, because it's all about that. You can do. You can't do the underage magic, but you can fly, because Malfoy is a good flyer. He's been flying around quite a bit, and then you have Ron talking about that as well. So these youngsters got out there on their brooms and were flying around. They're kids who go out and ride a bike or whatever, play, and that was allowed. So yeah. I did think it. So the school brooms, when you go too high, it says that they start to kind of shake. The twins were talking about that and how there's issues with them on certain limits. So you also wonder if there's not like almost like a training broom. Like, are these training mm-hmm. brooms or something?
Yes.
They're the school brooms, and they'll only go so high or so far or whatever. This broom that Neville's on, though, is in the Forbidden Forest, by the way.
I know.
At the end. And I was
wait. You should, like, check your brooms. Because when Harry gets a broom, you know, from someone, from Sirius, actually, they check it for some dark magic. You should maybe, to all your school brooms and do, like,
right.
a checkup.
Right, yeah. So, okay, while I'm going on here, I want to see if you can look up. So they say Seamus mm-hmm. is good. He's a very good flyer.
Okay.
Is he cool. on, and you can just look this up for me if you wouldn't mind, just on Google.
Sure.
Whether or not he was on the Quidditch team at any point, or if you know off the top of your head, I can't remember. But they talk about...
I do not think so, because he's a Gryffindor, and he's never mentioned.
I don't think so either, but they mm-hmm. mention what a good flyer he is here this
year.
Well,
the thing is, though, you can be a good flyer, but that doesn't mean you can play Quidditch.
I know.
Can't catch a ball.
True. You know. I guess I kind of wonder, it's one line about Seamus that I, you know, I was like, well, wonderful. Well, Seamus was ever in on the Quidditch mm-mm. team. So
no,
sounds like he's not.
Doesn't look like it, no.
Mm-mm. Okay.
He supported Harry when he was captain of the Quidditch team, but that's it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, so yeah, he's also listed as one of those good flyers. Let's mm-hmm. see. So this is the one thing that Hermione is not good at.
Yeah.
You trying to look up some tips, and Neville, I think it's really funny because Neville's sort of like, you can see him at the table looking at Hermione. She's like, I've read a few things about flying, and here's what you should do. Here are some tips, and here's how you should do it. And Neville's like, please tell me everything.
Yeah.
Because I was not allowed to ride, and I don't know if I'm going to be any good at this. I'm afraid of it. He's, you know, obviously they all get better later on, but he's truly just scared because the broom reacts to his fear, really. It's sort of like he gets scared, nervous, and jumps.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of takes off on him. So it's mm-hmm. that excitement, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so Hermione's not good at it. It's not something you can really look up in a book. I mean, Harry didn't even – he was just an absolute natural.
I guess he had that natural sense of, like, you know, like how you have a good balance mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. you know how to – you know, when you look at people who are good at gymnastics, they just know how to move their bodies.
Yeah, they're self-aware of
their... Yes, they know where in the room, in like time, space, whatever, where their body mm-hmm. parts are.
Spatial awareness and stuff, yeah.
So I guess like it might have something to do with that.
Yeah. You wonder if there's like, and there probably is in maybe one of the, you know, Quidditch Through the Ages mm-hmm. or some one of those books that might tell you more about how to...
Oh, we have it. And we'll definitely read it.
Yeah, just to look and see if there's more about like actually how you fly a broom, like leaning into it. Leaning mm-hmm. forward makes you go faster and then pulling back makes you slow down. Like that, you imagine that's sort of the way it's like a...
Oh, I bet. Yeah. That makes me think of in Goblet of Fire when they all go to the Quidditch World Cup and you see like the trio, they look around and they see like... families, wizarding families with their little kids, and they're riding like toy broomsticks that only like rise a little bit up in the air and then come back to, like they can't go any further really.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're small and stuff. And you wonder, I feel like it is mentioned somewhere.
Yeah, it is. I know what you're
Harry,
about to say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When when his parents were killed, he was about 1 year old. So he had 1 year with his parents, and I wonder. They probably had him sit on a broomstick, and I feel like that is mentioned somewhere.
I think it is. Yeah, I recall it too.
Toy broomsticks. And that's why, I mean, his father was super talented, and it's like one of those things, like, I played volleyball for most of my life, mm-hmm. and there is a lot of people who just love volleyball, and I have good friends, and they're both, like, you know, they have kids now, and mom and dad are both big volleyball players mm-hmm. and their kids, they just have like volleyballs lying around in their house all over the place, or just balls in general, and the kids pick it up and they learn so fast because it's always available. It's what they play with when they're kids. So I feel like that's what Harry probably played with when he was super little.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, if you're around it, you remember it. Yeah, if he was on one and he was kind of playing around on it, you get that mm-hmm. little, you know, balance or whatever. Yeah. Now, speaking of that, you were talking about like the how high they could go and stuff, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking, I mentioned the safety features here. I'm kind of driving to a point. Mm-hmm. So they're, you know, maybe our height limits or whatever, but like when, so Neville falls 20 feet and Madame Hooch is not penalized whatsoever. But Draco Malfoy runs up, right, on Buckbeak. Uh-huh. And Hagrid's like super almost in major trouble.
Yeah.
Now I get it. Hagrid's had some, he's got a past, you know, he's got his.
But still, they both, like you said, they informed the students, do not do that. If you do that, that's dangerous. Yeah, yeah, it's, yeah. You know, like you cannot do that.
Right. And actually all Neville does, if you read the text, is he literally just kicks up hard on the count of two, not on three. So what, did Madame Hooch not get the.
That happens all the time.
Well, and I'm thinking, like, if you're up that high, why is there not some sort of
oh yeah, like magical spell that she can perform?
Yeah, or even like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you would think that if you're the teacher doing that you would have mm-hmm. the capabilities to catch someone falling from the sky or stop their momentum. But she doesn't. Maybe she didn't react quick enough.
She seems very unprofessional in that moment.
Well, you know, maybe you just caught her off guard. Who knows? But I'm thinking too. Why isn't there not like a net like a magical net underneath them that where they can fly over top of and do maneuvers? Maybe there is later down the line, and we just never get to see that.
Maybe after that incident. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we never know about the next firsties learning how.
Wow. Oh my gosh. They do. They install a net. And it's called the long bottom catch, right? Sorry. I just like to make Lottie laugh. That's all.
I think that's awesome.
Right? It's a long bottom. Yeah, long bottom catch.
Just put it on the wiki.
Yeah, throw it up there. So anyways, yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting to mention the, a bubble charm or something for safety, something mm-hmm. like that. Now, we kind of flash back a little bit here. I'm going to go back to when they come down, because they're just talking about flying lessons and whatever, and Malfoy's there in the Great Hall, and his mother is sending him all sorts of goodies. I just wanted to point out that Narcissa loves him. She loves him. She loves her son, and she is sending him all sorts of treats and just so happy that
she misses him, probably.
She does.
No, he's her only child.
Yes, yes. I just mm-hmm. think it's awesome. We see it as always spoiled and blah blah, and we compare it to Harry.
Yeah.
But really, no, his mother just loves, like, wants to make sure he's, you know, maybe he is a little spoiled or whatever. But that's not like always necessarily a bad thing. It's just he's away from his mother and he's away at school. I would love a care package from someone. We do that around here for kids who go to college and stuff. They go away and parents will send them stuff, or they'll come back from a break and take cookies back and stuff, and it's awesome. So anyway, I thought it was pretty neat. I also wanted to mention too that Neville has that remembrance, and mm-hmm. I'm starting to get to that point where thankfully Lottie's here and she is my remembrance with that.
Do I
calendar.
Turn red when you forget something?
Yes, you do. You're a little embarrassed. You're like, sorry, he's like a little old. And he can't remember stuff. But no, I mean, you got the calendar running for us, so I appreciate that. I just mm-hmm. want you to know that. That's my rememberal. I go to my phone now, and I check the calendar. So thank you. But, you know, the rememberal is cool. It just seems like a device that doesn't – I don't know how it is supposed to work, but it tells you you forgot something. And I guess you think really hard about it, you know, you think about the thing that you forgot.
Yeah.
But I don't know that there's – look, I think Lottie's – she's writing something down. It's probably something that she forgot or that we forgot.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Something
because you mentioned the calendar, and I remembered there was three things in here today, and I know we did two of them.
And we didn't do the third. I don't even as we are sitting here, I don't know what the third thing is, and I will be shocked to find out what it is after we get off. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Cool beans. Anyway, but you know what I mean? Like, it turns red, and it's mm-hmm. like – I guess it does do exactly what just happened to you, which is to say you forgot something. Let me think back through mm-hmm. my list.
Yeah.
And just Neville has real issues with remembering mm-hmm. those things. And it's okay. It's a lot of his anxiety. You know what I mean? He's just, I think that's what it is, because he's trying to live up to this legacy, his parents and stuff. God, his story is so, later on, you're just like, once you learn more about Neville, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Let's go. I want Neville to be everything. He's just such a cool character. So anyway, okay, so McGonagall spot in trouble at the table. Malfoy goes over, he just wants to look at it, but she's that teacher, and I've been in lunchroom duty before where you're watching the kids or whatever. There's literally hundreds of them,
yeah,
so to spot trouble like that across the Great Hall, is a gift.
That's a great skill to have.
It's a skill. It's a talent. And so I'm the guy who, well, you're talking to other teachers and you're sitting there, but we never look at each other, right? We're just talking and we're just staring out into the crowd, and we can spot, you can see it. You can see the ripples, you know, kind of happening. And so I just thought, as a teacher.
I don't want to say the word hate, but I hate it. Being in duty of, you know, watching the kids outside when they, so we have.
Oh, like at recess or something? Or like just
no, for it's like a free time? It's also a break in between lessons, and they have time outside where they, most of them, actually the younger kids, they have to go outside. They make them go outside unless it like rains and snows. But guess what? Even if there's some snow outside, they get to go outside. And now I am the teacher who has to tell them, don't throw the snowballs.
Did they throw?
And guess what?
Did they
yes,
throw?
One threw a snowball at me. I didn't see it. It was from, he hit my back. And then the caretaker came out and, you know.
You guys have a caretaker?
Or janitor, or what do
that's
you call
awesome.
Them?
First of all, just
facility manager.
I'm going to start calling my head custodian at work.
Custodian, there you go. That was the word.
Yeah,
you're right.
The caretaker, because caretaker is such a cool name. Like, I actually kind of want to be a caretaker.
Is it British?
It might be. I'm not sure, but I've always wanted to be like a groundskeeper or like a caretaker of a particular spot, because you're like, all right, I know this spot. It's a big manor, or it's a big whatever, cemetery, or mansion, whatever it is, and like the grounds, and just kind of keep.
He was awesome. Like, he always had a smile on his face, would say good morning, and like made your day better. One of those people. I think I even talked about it. Like having those people who clean your spaces, who are in charge of like all the keys and stuff, who run the show for you, so you can have your lessons without worrying about that. So I'm so thankful that people like that like their job and they like what they do, and they, you know, they should be taken more serious. Anyway, so he helped me out in that situation, and I just,
I wanted to, thinking about this now, maybe I'll get a message from Arno on this one. I wonder if his name was ever written down in the book. I learned that in Germany, friends, if you misbehave in Miss Byers' class, she's going to write your name down
in the class book.
And I'm like, what does that do? Like, I would be that American exchange student who was like, go ahead, write my name down. What's that gonna do?
Well, then the class teacher, he sees it. And
see, I didn't know.
And then you're in trouble.
Then I'm in trouble. And then call my parents. I'm grounded. I didn't know. So, it's funny just how we do detentions, or we do like after school stuff, and we extend your day and make it more miserable. You know, you gotta stay.
See, we don't have those like weapons. Basically,
weapons.
I call them weapons because sometimes it is necessary to show them, hey, if you do that,
this is
there's
so...
a consequence. I should call it consequence, but I'm not like trying to say some. I had a good relationship with most of my students, but sometimes you wished you had something to tell them. No, you can't do that. If you do that, you know, like
just more.
There's something
in
you have to do that you don't like to do.
Yeah. No, honestly, like more in the consequences tool bag or whatever, right?
Yeah.
To kind of pull out for some, because some kids need different types of motivations or consequences just to sort of motivate them or to keep them in line and stuff. And it's really more about the fun, and they're outside in your scenario. But a lot of times in class, it's like, you know, we're here for learning, and you're distracting everybody. You're being disruptive, and that kid may not care, but it's like you have 20 other kids who do, and so. And also, that kid does care. There's normally typically a reason why. Yeah, sorry, getting into my educational philosophy. But
how did we get here?
Huh? What?
How did we get here?
We got here because McGonagall spotted something across the great hall. So I just want to give her a shout out. Anytime I hear something that's really cool from McGonagall, I'm just like, let's talk about it, because McGonagall's awesome, you know?
Yeah.
Really, I named my cat Professor McGonagall years ago. Yeah. So, I mean, I love McGonagall. Straight up. I wish she were, like, I like her. I'm not a big fan of, like, the Gryffindors, necessarily. I mean, I love the trio, and for sure, we get used to them.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love Hufflepuff House.
Yeah.
I think I would have been, sorry to kind of go in a different direction here, but I think McGonagall would have been one of my favorite teachers. I think I would have worked super hard in her class, and I would have been getting a lot of points for Hufflepuff, and I think she would have been impressed.
Probably, yes.
You know,
she doesn't favor any house, so she's like, "F you." It doesn't matter where you're from.
Yeah, now except for when it comes to Quidditch, which we're about to find out here. So she's definitely favoring somebody. Anyway, so that was pretty cool. Oh my gosh, Madam Hooch, why does she look like She has, they do something with her eyes a little bit and mm-hmm. her hair. She looks like a cat or like she has a different.
A hawk?
Something. What is it? What?
Doesn't it? Is it?
Is there something about
a hawk?
And they do a little something. I think they do something with like lenses or
the
contact
yellow
lenses.
Eyes are very yellow.
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and like a sort of like slitted pupils or whatever, like up and down. So really interesting that they did that. Now, it makes Madame Hooch very interesting. And mm-hmm. then when you do, and we can talk about her in the Extendable Ear Edition as well as we look things up, but she, there's not a whole lot. We're not really sure whether she, we assume she fought in the Battle of Hogwarts, but.
Was she after this year?
Yeah, so the few times for some Quidditch stuff right. here and there, and that's about it.
But she only teaches first years, doesn't she?
Yeah, and I think she's sort of that referee maybe or whatever. And
right,
then,
yes, but teaching-wise, she only has first years.
Yeah, yeah, for
because
sure.
Because after
yeah.
that, there's no more flying lessons.
No more flying lessons, yeah, yeah. But I just thought it was interesting, and I didn't know if anybody had any thoughts or theories, you know, because I'm now looking for all these different ideas, like these one-line hooks is for our shorts that we write on YouTube. I'm sort of like, you know, why did Madame Hooch look like that way? Is there something? Because everybody's got, like, you know, I think as J.K. Rowling is writing the series, mm-hmm. she's thinking about things she wants to set up later. So
okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you've got, like, was she planning to do more? Did she put certain... you know, associate certain words with that character that she could kind of, mm-hmm. You know, draw out or make more of later in the series.
Yeah.
And, you know, so anyways, sorry, just some random thoughts there on Madame Hooch. Okay.
Short gray hair, yellow eyes like a hawk. That's yellow spot eyes. On what they did in the movie. So
like a hawk. So I said a cat and I mm-hmm. don't know why I said that. But it's probably because I think of like, McGonagall turning into a cat.
Yeah.
And so when you're in the first book, you're sort of like, that's interesting
yeah.
that you can do that.
Maybe
and
she
then that's...
turns into a hog. Who knows?
Right. And she's also teaching flying and stuff like that. So is Madame Hooch and Animagus? Right? Isn't that a good question to ask? I feel like that's... Put that in the topics for the... Anyway, we talked a little bit about Neville in the broom, Harry's a natural, all the good stuff, and the broom flying into the Forbidden Forest. So speaking of Harry being a natural and really good at flying the broom, he's a seeker right away. McGonagall comes out there and she gets him and stuff. And he's, you know, I love the bit where he's going up against Malfoy and this continues sort of, you know, rivalry with Slytherin, which is hard to say, just so you guys know. This continues for, we see it right here again.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, so like when we see Crumb later on in the Triwizard Tournament and everything, he's such a good flyer and Harry just yeah. used his broom to get the dragon egg. And I wonder why Crumb didn't. Crumb is like a better flyer. Like, I mean, did he do something different? Did he summon... Did he use different magic? But he's a better flyer than Harry, supposedly. He's a seeker, the best seeker in the world. I just kind of wondered why he never,
that's his big strength.
Yeah, why he didn't use a broom right there like Harry. And it's also fascinating that Barty Crouch Jr. like comes up with some of that stuff, you know what I mean? Ways to kind of has really thought long and hard about how to kind of get through that tournament. So
yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, we're talking about flying, and so we're talking about this bit where Harry figures out that he has this naturally gifted. I feel like Crumb, same thing, probably walked over to the broom and said, up, and was instantly flying, you know?
By the way, Crumb blinded the dragon and retrieved his egg.
Wow.
The conjunctivitis.
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 Conjunctivitis. Charm.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Blinds the dragon.
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, still.
Smart.
Still dating. Yeah, smart. But, I mean, still got to get around it. Got to move. You got to, like, athletically maneuver watch for the tail, watch for the you know, claws
right.
and stuff.
When you remember the basilisk, for example, was blinded, but it could still hear really, really
well.
Oh,
yeah, still dangerous. Still dangerous. So, McGonagall, so while you're typing away over there, I appreciate this today. I feel like I have my own, like, Google. The way we have our setup up here, guys, it's a mm-hmm. little different right now, so I don't have a keyboard in front of me. But McGonagall, she played Quidditch, did she
yes,
not?
Yes, she did.
And do you know what, so just take your time on this one, like, the position that she played in Quidditch, because... She is so passionate. And I thought about this as a kid growing up. When you find out that your teachers, especially teachers who maybe are a bit older, and you're like, you can't envision them. Like, this is something that kids that kids have. Everyone goes to the stage where you can't envision your parents younger, your grandparents younger. And when you see pictures, you're like, no, that's not them, right? So for me, I remember like in elementary school and going into middle school, having these teachers who were passionate about football and about basketball, and they knew sports teams better than I. I mean, I was an athlete, and they were so passionate about it. So like McGonagall in this moment reminds me of a lot of those teachers who you're like, you watch sports? What? You're watching the game, and because she says at one point when she's talking about Snape that after the the terrible outing that they had last year against House Slytherin, she couldn't look Snape in the eye for like a week. Yeah. She had trouble, facing him in the hallway.
Yeah.
Made me also think, are they making wagers possibly on the games? Or are the teachers get this sort of backroom betting going on?
Yeah. But it is seems to be unknown though what position she played.
But she did play.
Yes, everyone agrees. She definitely was a Quidditch player when she was at Hogwarts, but we are not told which position it is.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. One more last sort of thing here for you to kind of look up. Oliver Wood, the actor that plays him, and people are probably shouting it right now at the thing, but do you know the actor's name that plays him? So we meet Wood in this chapter, and, again, McGonagall, Harry thinks he's in trouble, thinks he's expelled. We go to Flitwick's classroom, not Quirrell's, we go to Flitwick's classroom, and we meet Oliver Wood, and they start talking about Quidditch, and we start to learn just a little bit about it. We learn that he's captain of the Quidditch team. I say jokingly say that I was the former captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team back in the day. So is it Sean
Biggerstaff?
Sean Biggerstaff. That's what I have right here on my phone. I thought so. I was off of memory. I was trying to remember his name. So I met him. I've met him. And I met him the Orlando, it was like the 19 years later, celebration. Ooh. After hours, they shut the park down. They did a panel, a Q&A session with some of the younger actors who had played in it. And then he was there. It was really cool. He walked around with me for a while and we chatted. It was mind-blowing. It was really mind-blowing just to be walking there.
Oh, my gosh. That's me gushing over here.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We were buds. Not going to lie. We were just sort of like, what's up, man? Like, we're talking Quidditch and talking sports, so. But it was really fun, and I was very, very happy to kind of go and have that experience. Last couple things here. So Peeves. Mm-hmm. Peeves, you asked me before, did we mention Peeves last episode? And I don't know if we did. I can't even remember remembrals.
What you ate last night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't remember anything. I don't even know what I said 5 seconds ago. So, what are we talking about? Peeves, right? Mm-hmm. Did we mention Peeves last episode? Have we mentioned him at all? Feel like we did, but he's a poltergeist.
Yeah.
And so I just, couldn't remember if we mentioned it or not, but interesting that he's here and he does not look McGonagall. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't cross. No one should cross McGonagall.
No.
Peeves is not going to mess around.
No.
He's actually under his breath, like sort of swearing. Mm-hmm. He's swearing under his breath because, like McGonagall knows he can't do anything and he better not even. It's almost like he's one of the students. He better not step one toe out of line or McGonagall's going to get him.
Yep.
So, yeah.
He's funny.
Charlie Weasley was mentioned in this chapter, though. Pretty good, right? He must have been pretty good as a seeker. So, and Harry's better. And they're remembering Charlie. McGonagall says the dive that Harry does is better than anything that Charlie couldn't have pulled that off. Yeah. So that's pretty.
He must have been like the best seeker of, Gryffindor seeker in
as maybe ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Which sometimes
quite a long time,
I kind of wonder if Harry didn't continue to develop, if he wouldn't have been as good as Crumb.
Yeah.
And played for the national team and stuff. Yeah. I literally wouldn't be surprised. That would be awesome if he did, but then he went the career route and everything.
It's interesting that Ginny actually went down that career.
Yeah.
Of
all her brothers, that's hilarious.
Yeah. She's good, but I bet Harry could have been
He just didn't develop. I mean, it's one of those things. If you don't use it, you lose it. Type of thing. You don't keep practicing. It wasn't your ambition. It's not your thing. So but I just think he was good. He must have been really, really good.
Yep.
So, all right. Yeah. And that's about it for me, I think. So we're just kind of just leading up to, they're talking about needing to get him a broom. And then Harry's gonna switch over and go tell Ron. And I just love the break there where
you're joking.
It's so funny because Ron just can't believe it. Yeah. It's just great. Ron is that guy who, when you show up, he's your friend, and you tell him something that happens, and he just helps you exaggerate everything that's going on. You're like, let's go. I like this guy's energy, you know?
Yeah.
So.
True. And he's super excited about it. I know we see him in the fourth book. He gets, like, that's the first time, really, he gets really, really, like, jealous and, like, oh, all this time.
Yeah.
It's always been Harry, always been him. We talked about, you know, haha, we could, you know, put our names in there. And now he didn't even tell me that he did.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. But anyway, here he is super supportive, super excited for his friend instead of like, oh, he made it and I didn't or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, he's just a really, really good kid. Yeah. But they, you know, they're having a good time at dinner. Fred and George congratulate Harry. Yeah. They're on the team too.
Welcome, mate.
Yeah. I bet they probably make Quidditch practice a lot of fun.
Well, can you imagine too, after Oliver had this bit of information, they were looking for a secret, clearly didn't have one. Who was on their list to sort of say like, okay, well, we
tryouts. This, yeah, they didn't even have fair tryouts though.
Well, you wonder too if somebody just, they didn't try out for it or something, or if Oliver was sort of like, yeah, I wonder if there was a kid who was like, I'm going to try it, and then they're sort of like, hey, we've got our seeker.
Yeah.
Don't come. Right? I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's a tough position. Maybe it's just a tough position, and it's a lot of pressure, and people don't want to try out for that particular position.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So that wouldn't be surprising at all.
Because it's really tough, and the beaters often focus on you.
Yeah, yeah. I guarantee Flitwick could not get Oliver to shut up when he came back from that meeting with McGonagall.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's whispering to his other Gryffindor buddies.
You won't believe.
We got a seeker. You're never going to believe who it is.
Yeah.
There you go. Who?
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
No.
I mean, it's crazy. I would be like, that would be like, wait a second. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Harry Potter's our new seeker. Imagine the older kids going, let's go.
Yeah.
The chosen one.
That's cool. Malfoy cannot believe that Harry's still there, really. Oh,
yeah.
Shocked. He was clearly trying to get him out. And, you know, what fun would life be if your rival wouldn't be around anymore?
Oh, yeah. What's he going to do? What's Malfoy going to do? Who's he going to pick on?
Gonna do? Yeah.
Weasley? Come on.
He tries to pick a new fight. And he's quick. I mean, the problem is he's such a Slytherin in the sense of, like, he's very cunning and he knows they're going to take the bait.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. He does totally trick them. That this is actually a win for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're having a good laugh downstairs about it. And even though Harry doesn't get kicked out, I bet they had a great laugh, and they were just they're just like looking at their watches going, where do you think they're at right now?
Oh my gosh,
can you believe this? Good one.
It's one of those things, like 11-year-old boys challenging each other to a wizard's duel. And midnight, and you gotta sneak out and you gotta break the rules and all that stuff.
Sweetie, we used to challenge each other in middle school, and it was like it was one-on-one on the court.
Oh, wow.
You know, we would play those big basketball games, and then somebody, like, there was, like, a foul or, like, a contest. Like, we weren't sure who did what, and it was sort of like, let's settle this one-on-one. One-on-one out here.
Sometimes, you know, like, that's what young kids sometimes do.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where you talk about it, you're like, yeah, we're going to meet at midnight, and then everyone's asleep at, like, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, they're not staying up, yeah.
But they're, like, Harry and Ron just can't wait to, 'cause I think Harry is pretty confident. He is pretty confident. They have no idea what they're doing yet. They can shoot sparks at each other.
Yeah, he's just defiant. He wants to stand up to Malfoy. Yes. He is not having this type of energy.
Yeah. And a wizard's duel. So we learned that Ron is pretty knowledgeable about this. And the old wizarding families, they seem to know about it. Like Malfoy challenges and Ron's like, yeah, I'm his second.
That's right. Yeah.
And everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
So Wizard's Duel, like in the modern wizarding times, here it's not really what people do anymore. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's just kind of fun to pretend play you having a wizarding duel. Like the duel, we have the duels in like the war where you have people fighting against each other, and
yeah
you still have those dueling clubs where you know how to defend yourself.
But you know, for example, I had a friend in couple friends in college who took fencing.
Yes,
fencing is like just that, it's a know? Safe thing that you can do. You're just dueling one another. And you're trying to score points. It's just a game. Right. It's more of a competitive thing. Mm-hmm. The duel, it kind of hangs that threat that there might be someone, you know, the loser might not be getting back up at the end. But really, these kids didn't know how to do conjure any of that kind of stuff at that time. I don't know if you were going to ask this or not, and so I'm sorry if I'm cutting you off. But if you were challenged, to a wizard's duel.
Wait, when I was in Hogwarts? Or when I'm an adult?
When you're in Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. Would you, from Ravenclaw House, and let's just imagine you have this batch of characters that we meet in the series.
Yeah.
Who would be your second? You know, who, if you could just pick someone and say, I want them, they're going to agree, and they're going to be my second.
That is really hard to say because we don't know that many characters.
I know. So it's hard to tell. It's really just based upon the ones that you do
I
kind of.
I feel like
of...
the only characters in this time is like, we have Cho, we have
Luna.
Marietta and Luna and... Yeah. Terry Boot or something. What's his name? Yeah. That Fleur goes out with on the dance.
Oh,
Roger Davis. Roger.
Yeah. Is he a Ravenclaw? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he's a Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. No idea. I mean, I guess like maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't probably not have Cho and Luna.
You would rather have Luna over Cho?
Luna is anyway. She's younger, so she wouldn't be there when I was in first year. Now would be.
I know. I'm just saying it. Just hypothetical. Like if you were a little.
I think she's more like dreamy. She doesn't want to fight. She's like. I mean, she. I think she does very well in the.
You think Cho would have your back? I think Cho would.
Yeah, I think she's pretty tough.
I think she is. I think she's very, very a confident.
Yeah.
Ravenclaw. I don't know why people would like get. I like Cho.
I do too. Up until the point where she's just being ridiculous to Harry. But otherwise, I don't think like that's not a personality necessarily. It's just teenager stuff, you know. Like, don't judge her on her teenage crush. Like, I mean, a boy she really, really liked too. He died.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't know. Cho might have been a good choice for a second.
Yeah. So for me, just real quick, and I'm sorry that I'm doing this or whatever. If it's easy, Cedric.
From my house,
it's so easy. He's the.
I'm just thinking about like Cedric's entry in Puffs, where he's like. Like you see the sparks flying, and he's like,
yeah,
and he's like this super awesome guy who's also super friendly to all the first season stuff, and
he's awesome. So I'm looking at other ones like Ernie McMillan, Hannah Abbott, Zachariah Smith, Justin Finch, Fletchley. I always say his name wrong. Susan
Finch.
Bones. You know, just Jake really
Finch out.
Yeah. So if you, by the way, if you have not had a chance, we'll say it again. Puffs. If you had the play,
if you're a
Angelina
big fan,
watched it.
It is so
Harry Potter. It is so worth your time. Go buy it on Amazon and watch it.
It's truly made for fans.
It is made for Harry Potter fans, 100%. You'll laugh your butts off.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, sorry.
So I was just gonna go over a little bit of, you know, like how does a wizard duel work, and you know, you have a challenger you have to accept, and then you agree on your place and time, what they did, and then. You bow before you start.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second, you know, if you're the second, you take over when the former duelist is unable to fight. I was wondering, though, when I remember we were listening to the audiobook, and I was like, was Goyle sad when Malfoy chose Crabbe?
Yeah, right, yeah.
This is like, he looks at them, like looks up and down. It's like, Crabbe.
But you know, good on him, because if he just would have called it out immediately without no thought, it almost makes the other one feel like, wow, he didn't have to think about that.
True, yeah.
You know?
But
so
still,
at least
it's like one of those
thought things
where like being, I don't know, like he's like,
yeah,
analyzes like who could be better at this. And
Right. Yep.
Anyway, so I don't know, like Goyle, he probably was glad. He was like, oh, thank goodness I can just sleep through the night.
Yeah,
but, I mean, he didn't. I bet like they didn't know at that point, Crabbe and Goyle, that Malfoy was just like, maybe they had an idea, but I think they.
It
were
seems
at
like
that
it's on the spot.
Moment that's like, okay.
Oh, they're too slow. They're not picking up on that. I mean, Malfoy, give him credit. He is very, very quick. Very quick witted.
And then you have limits like no physical fight, which. Millicent Bulstrode definitely attacks Hermione physically.
Millicent Bulstrode, oh my goodness.
And even Harry thought about it. Like, or I think Ron says, hey, if you can't do anything with your wand, just throw it away and punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And usually, like in a real duel, you kind of agree, like agree on not using any unforgivables.
Oh, so like maybe adults would agree on that or something?
Yes, yeah. Not the kids. You know, in former, like, back in the day duels.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yep. But Hermione puts her foot down. She clearly overheard them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you are not losing all the points that I worked for so hard. And I am 100% behind her on this. Like, she is absolutely right about it. It's so dumb and selfish of them. But to them, it's an adventure. You know, like, they're kids. They're like, they want to...
Oh, yeah.
Test their strength. But she is so right. It is super unfair.
And as you say, it's selfish. Like, if the other Gryffindor, the older students knew, no way.
No.
There is no way they would let you run off and do that. They'd be like, no, sit your butt down, Potter. Sorry, you may be the chosen one, but you're not going to go do something stupid like this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a great plot device, but it's
I know, like, I mean,
she's right.
She ends up helping them a lot, so we are glad she's going with, you know, she's coming along.
I know, I always forget, too, that she goes outside with them, marches out after them, and they all kind of get stuck because...
yes, I was going to ask you, where did the fat lady go at night?
Where did she go? What is she
up
to?
Who did she visit?
She's super social.
I mean, I guess, like, they have, like, hours where they have to be there. And then, the kids should be in bed so you can finally go and visit your friends or whoever. You know?
How was she chosen as the sort of, like, you know what I mean? Like, the guardian of Gryffindor power.
But, like, she probably was a Gryffindor herself. And
I just kind of wonder, you know, like, just interesting that they trust her big time.
Yeah.
With, like,
can
letting
imagine?
People in and out. Because remember, sometimes they don't have the password or they forget. And she's like, oh, I'm going to let you in, but.
I was going to say, can you imagine being her and like, oh yeah, I have seen this guy all the time. Like, I know for a fact that he's a Gryffindor. And he's like, I remember the password. Well, what am I supposed to do?
It's like her only role. It's her only role.
Sorry.
She's really just checking the hallways,
Neville,
to see if anybody's
good.
Is it clear? All right, get in. Come on.
I know. And Neville is messing with you. Neville is like sleeping on the floor because he forgot the password. Like,
And she's not there, too,
and
right?
Then she's not there, but I think he forgot.
And then she left.
Yes. What he's saying is he forgot. Because I was wondering, why is Neville taking so long? Why is he not back yet? Because didn't, like, Madame Pomfrey, couldn't she mend bones in, like, minutes? And that's what he says.
Oh, yeah,
That's what he says. How's your arm, said Harry. And Neville says, fine. Madame Pomfrey mended it in about a minute. Good. Then they don't talk about it. And I'm like,
maybe he's dealing with other types of trauma. Maybe he needed to, Madam Hooch maybe said, I needed extra lessons. Maybe he needed a little.
Maybe they had to record the incident or whatever. Like, you know, like a report and record.
Right.
And
right. Perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing, though, while they are all, like, now it's four of them and it's way harder to move. You know, like around four people talking.
They don't even have the invisibility cloak either.
No,
so
I know that's
like
their first time sneaking out without it.
Yeah.
Well, it's their first time in general, and they don't have it either.
They don't have
it,
yeah.
But Harry knows for a fact when they, you know, Malfoy is nowhere to be seen and Filch is exactly where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
He knows Hermione is right. Hermione's like, I knew it. He set you up for this. He wants you gone. And Harry's like, yeah, I know. I'm not going to tell her. I can't admit it. Harry, come on.
Hey, bad form on them. This is, I mean, like, honestly, Hermione through the whole series is the best. Really.
Yeah.
She is the best. And you, I remember when I was reading, I was sort of like, she just does not, She's so conscious yes. and thinks through stuff yes. and cares about them and just deserves a lot more credit. I mean, I know we give her a lot of credit anyway, mm-hmm. but as you read the series, yeah, there's some questionable things, I guess, later with like curses and stuff on certain yeah. people. And, you know, but still.
Her abilities are through the roof, her wit, her mm-hmm. cleverness, her planning things and stuff. And we are doing a How Powerful series on YouTube yes. where we do like short videos and we go through different wizards and witches abilities and we kind of rate them. And so far we've only done adults, but we eventually will move on to the kids. And I mean, I'm not going to spoil it for some people, but Hermione is like, she is the smartest. And because being strong is not just about strong spells, but also mm-hmm, knowing mm-hmm. how to use and when to use them. And I think she is just, she's a genius. And she becomes the minister of magic. So mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah.
For magic. I always get that wrong.
Yeah, yeah. So I had to look it up really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. And folks who follow another podcast, Wish and Flick, by yeah. the way, I was on one of their, what do you call it, like a bonus episode or something. Mm-hmm. I forget what they call those. Felix Files, yes, thank you. And we were doing, the topic was whether or not Hermione was justified in the jinx that she put on Dumbledore's army parchment
mm-hmm.
For Marietta okay. Edgecombe.
Yes.
And she gets those scars that can't really be, like, removed and
I mean,
stuff.
That is strong magic.
Right. And so it's something that was just, it marked you though in such a mm-hmm. way that it was like a permanent marking. And I think the big thing was like, was people, because, you know, we often are very pro Hermione and we're talking about kids and students. So I remember being on that going like, wow, what an interesting topic to sort of bring up mm-hmm. and whether or not that was far. Like basically, did Hermione go too far? And I think we should turn that into a short as well. Like, did she go too far? And see what people think, because it was really an interesting question.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely shout out to them. That was an awesome question to raise. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know. I love Hermione though. And I'm super proud of her for going. And did Neville say anything? I can't remember if Neville really said much about this other than like he had nowhere to go other than just to kind of roll with them. But yeah, I mean, nice that Hermione can get him through the door. A little Alohomora action. Thankfully.
But here is my point, sweetie.
Okay.
Wouldn't you think that they would put a better protection spell or protection on that door if it's guarding something like that? Especially when it's this spell, Alohomora, is in the first volume of the Standard Book of Spells
yeah,
series.
Good point.
And so every student can look it up.
Yeah, it would have been something if they put like a fifth year kind of unlocking spell. There's almost like no, it's almost like Alohomora Maxima. Like maybe that should have yeah, been the
something more advanced.
You needed something a little extra to get it. But
yeah. And you know, like in, later in the series, we learn some doors even they don't open even
they
if
don't.
You say Alohomora.
Exactly.
So you would think like,
yeah, put one of those locks on it.
So I, like you said in the beginning, completely forgot that Neville, he comes along for everything and he sees Fluffy. And the reason why we forget is A, because in the movie he isn't there.
Yes.
And B, well, why wasn't he there? Because he doesn't say anything anymore. Like he is shocked. He is out of breath.
Yeah.
After they come back to the common room, he cannot speak. He's so terrified.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me wonder, there's not just the trio knows about it, but Neville too. And what did he think about it? Like,
yeah,
he might have been like, I don't even want to find out what's there.
Yeah. You know, I've often wondered, so this is very telling here, mm-hmm. but we were in Costa Rica and we were listening to Midnight Sun. Those of you who know this book and from Edward's perspective, I've often wondered what it would be like to get a Neville perspective
yes.
throughout the entire series, you know, like literally to go yeah. back and rewrite the books from his experience, him yeah. growing up, like his friends and who was his sort of like, you know, Dean, Seamus, mm-hmm. and talking about what that was like and
yeah,
girls
like,
he was interested in. Or,
I mean,
you know,
Hermione and Ginny were very close
they were close to Neville.
And then later Luna, like he had a lot of mm-hmm. more like, you know, like girls as friends and they, yep. 'cause they were I don't know. I feel like nicer to him. And
Yeah. He was kind of picked on, and he was a little bit, unsure of himself and things. But yeah. I feel like it would be so cool to get his perspective, honestly.
Yes.
And that's why I'm always, when I root about like getting like more Potter content,
yeah.
I've always wanted something with like Professor Longbottom.
Yes.
Because I think he could reflect on his time and mm-hmm. give you some of those things that weren't in the series, but he could reflect on it and say, yeah, one time in our third year, here's what I was doing when that was happening. And you get a different
Or sort in of... my first year, I met this three-headed dog monster thing.
Right. Yeah. And I went and told Professor McGonagall and other teachers, and they didn't do anything about it. You know what I mean? Like,
or, oh, do you think he did?
I don't think he did. But I just think,
I think he went on to be an awesome teacher. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. 100%. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So.
Anyway, so yeah, they are... They can't believe what they just have witnessed is... A three-headed dog mm-hmm. that is very rare, by the way. Fluffy.
Yeah, three-headed dog. Yeah.
Is, or Greek mythology, how do you say it? Cerberus? Kerberus?
Yeah, Cerberus? I don't know how to say it.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do, because I've heard of it. I just don't know exactly what it,
And it is, I was wondering, it's not in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and it's a very, it's a rare, no, I looked it up. It's not in the book. And it's a very rare beast. So Hagrid also got it from.
So hold on a second. Is just a three-headed dog? I asked earlier if Ripper was magical.
No.
And he's not. But is this three-headed beast is it magical? Is it is he? He's not. Hey, not in Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
So it's just a three-headed dog.
And. Hagrid purchased Fluffy from a Greek chappie, from a Greek man,
mm-hmm.
at the Leaky Cauldron,
okay.
right?
Okay.
And then he kind of lent Fluffy to
Dumbledore.
To Dumbledore for this purpose. And
where was he before?
Before, I don't know, but he returned to Greece after Fluffy's duties were done and the stone was destroyed. Hagrid set Fluffy free in the Forbidden Forest. But shortly after, Dumbledore decides to arrange for it to be sent back to his native Greece, as he preferred to keep some of Hagrid's more ill-advised acquisitions away from the school.
Yeah, sometimes Hagrid needs
a little... with his history, I understand.
Yeah, Dumbledore's just looking out for you, Hagrid. Sorry, buddy. I love Ron's comment in the movie, too, where he's like, what are they doing letting a thing like that run around in a school?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he's right,
Dumbledore? Hey, yeah. Ron's got some legitimate...
And even like a little comment, like, yeah, that dog definitely needs, what does he say, exercise? And I'm like,
oh, really?
Yeah. He is right, Dobby, for Dobby, Fluffy.
Yeah.
It's like a tiny, like, I mean, his description is he's from, like, he fills out the space between floor and ceiling, everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For him, it's like being.
Yeah, how do you really, move around? You gotta,
Like, he is in this tiny little room for him.
Dogs need walks, they need runs, they need to get out and move.
I feel bad for Fluffy.
Your cats were cramped in that little apartment you had. They're pretty small.
I know.
So.
But they're in a better place now.
They are, yes.
I mean, they didn't pass away yet, but they are really in a better apartment. Yeah,
their physical location. It's still in this world.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, so I wonder, Fluffy, good for him. He returned to Greece and had hopefully a little bit more freedom.
Would have been cool if he returned for the Battle at Hogwarts, though, at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, why didn't they?
Wouldn't that be cool?
Why didn't they get Fluffy back?
Yeah,
who knows? Hermione, though, clever as she is, she was probably also very scared. But she noticed Fluffy was guarding something.
Mm-hmm,
he's standing on a trap door.
Oh, what's your? I can't do a Hermione impression, but she was like, how her voice. She's.
You don't use your eyes, do you?
Perfect.
Perfect. Snapped.
Yeah. She's so wonderful. Yeah. So smart. So, so observant and just, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, Ron's really, like, though. Oh, I'm sorry. I was a little occupied with its three heads.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of get him too. Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. How are you not? I mean, she also saw that, but then saw everything else too. So, but I'd be freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah.
But Hermione's comment, gives Harry something to think about. His little detective mind
mm-hmm,
is like,
mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness, I just figured out where this little package went that Hagrid got from Gringotts.
Yep, safest place is Hogwarts.
What is going on in the school?
Yeah, yeah. So
here we go.
Oh, that's great. I just want to recall everyone's, if you've seen the film, you know that there is a massive bit of dog drool that drips down on Ron and or Harry or one of the two of them. It is hilarious. And it's always given me that cringy sort of like.
And Ron's like, ew. Like he does this uber exaggerated.
Ew. Like, yeah, what is that? Like Filch is chasing him down.
It's so
and then
funny.
The dogs are there and you're like, that's a massive bit of drool.
Yeah, because they're facing the door. They're like kind of like leaning towards the door. Is Filch still there? They don't even look into the room in the movie. And then it's like dropping down his shoulder. Mm-hmm. and it's such a cool moment for kids. It's like they all turn around at the same time and they all like, ah! And they, you know, like do this kind of effect
classic
for kids. It's like you want to recreate that as a kid with your buddies. And you're like, let's play, I don't know, Harry Potter. Yeah, we talked about it with Christine today. She was like, yeah, I was 11 years old when the first movie came out. And I'm like, oh, perfect. You were so lucky.
Yeah.
I was a lot younger and I was like pretty convinced still that I was going to get my Hogwarts once I turned 11.
That is so sweet. That is so sweet that you were just sitting there thinking like, I'm going to get a letter. You wait.
Oh, yeah.
That breaks my heart, actually. You were probably waiting in your mailbox just going like, okay, where are the owls? You're looking towards the sky.
Oh. Yeah,
that's cute.
Well, I'll have a good life. It's okay.
We are magical, so we're good. You know,
I mean, I live in the magical world as much as I can.
Absolutely, we do. Know? Yeah, no.
Every week we record, we expand.
I will just flat out take. We are. You know, you're a witch. I'm a wizard. I don't accept anything else. You know, it's just what it is. So. Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
Wow. Well, do you hear that?
Oh, I do hear it. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Advice of the week. Honestly. Just listen to Hermione. Like, most of the time, she's right. No, just kidding.
I mean, that's pretty good advice, not gonna lie.
I know. But if you don't have a Hermione in your life, honestly,
find one.
Just listen. Find one. That's a good advice. But listen to your gut more. Like, because you can tell Harry himself doesn't have a good gut feeling about it when he says it wasn't what you call the perfect end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, after, you know, he agreed meeting Malfoy at midnight and he thought he was going to be expelled anyway for flying around, even though he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah.
And now he's breaking the rules again.
Yeah.
And... yeah, he's just risking being expelled again, and he knows Hermione's right. But on the other hand, where would he be if he hadn't found out about Fluffy that night? So I don't know. I guess out well.
Well, the thing is, I think I don't know, though. I mean, we don't, you know, we say that, but, like, it's just a story, right? It's a plot point that you have to kind of go through because it's where the author wanted to take you. Yeah. But I think in real life, it's like, yeah, you should. A lot of times, like, there's been many times where I've had a gut feeling and been like, yeah, I'm glad I followed my gut there. And it's weird when you stop and think for a second about choices in life and how much, you know, because I've agreed to go somewhere and I've been like later on, like, I just don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And when I'm younger, I wouldn't speak up and say that. And I would end up being miserable and did something I didn't want to do and blah, blah, blah. But then as you get older, I feel like you need to tell kids, hey, just because you said you were going to or whatever, you can change your mind.
Yes.
Like, you're totally allowed to change your mind. Yeah. You don't need to go. And it's all good.
And here's something though, like that's something, sometimes you get it confused with, oh yeah, I don't want to get out of my comfort zone ever. And I just stay, you know, like that's,
there's differences.
You got to find that balance of like, no, your gut, your entire body actually has a physical response to things. And if you're like, everything screams no or yes, then yeah, definitely listen. Like, you know, like if, we always said, yeah, if I now imagine this was not a thing, like I didn't have to worry about XYZ, would I do it? And your entire being says yes.
Yeah.
Then do it. Or the other way around, if everything screams no, don't do it. But it doesn't mean like you shouldn't
It doesn't mean you also won't make mistakes, though, either, because that can still happen. But it's just being more in tune and just being, I don't know, like knowing that you have options, I think, really, just that you have a choice. So I feel like, Harry made this agreement, but he could have just backed out, too. And stuff,
right. And I was always trying to envision, like, what if it, like, what would he could have been the one laughing at Malfoy at night in his bed, like, oh, do you think he's, you think he's in this trophy room, like, thinking I was going to show up?
Yeah.
You know, he could have been that person. And I don't know.
Yeah.
And both, can you imagine both parties sitting at their common rooms or in their dormitories and be like, oh, how do you think Potter or Malfoy's out there right now? Yeah. And no one's out there.
No one's there, yeah. You know, another little bit of advice is get yourself a good rememberal. Just get yourself a good rememberal.
A living rememberal.
Yeah, because I'm still interested to see what our third thing is for today that I don't remember. So we'll get to that here shortly, though.
Yeah.
But, all right, cool. Awesome. So that was fun. You know, it was a good little chapter. And, you know, just good to get to meet Oliver and to talk about Quidditch and fly a little bit and then fun little wizard's duel or whatever. And they learn something from it. So, okay. Well, hey, friends, you know, this is like our second week of transitioning here. We're getting a little bit better at it. So hang with us. I mean, kind of used to the recording room environment. Like I said, I need to figure out like a desk situation over here so I can like actually pull my laptop around and not like move everything.
Yeah.
It's, I wish you guys could, I'm glad you can't see us right now, 'cause it's kind of this awkward, like I'm sitting here
across the room. Hi.
Do I look cool over there? Sitting like with my arm.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I think you look pretty chill.
I can, my head's against the ceiling.
Oh yeah, true.
Look at these slanted ceilings. Nice. Anyway,
but you're as big as Fluffy. You fill out the room from, you know, like Fluffy is Fluffy.
Am I Fluffy? You like me? I'm Fluffy.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Sorry, you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that was awkward. We'll probably cut that out in post. So anyway. All right, friends. Well, hey, thanks so much for joining us this week. Thanks for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope that you will join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people like the Lottmans, shout out, that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Fluffy.
If you don't want to miss the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review or follow us over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
Also, we would love to invite you to check out our YouTube channel, Harry Potter Hangout, if you're already listening to the episode on there. We're having a lot of fun creating short videos there, covering more Wizarding World background information and theories. If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing Wizarding family on Patreon at Fleur and Bill. Thank you so much, by the way, to all our current Patreons. We appreciate you to the moon and back. Alrighty, next week we will discuss Chapter 10 of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Halloween! It's Halloween next week, sweetie.
That's cool.
So definitely don't miss out on next week's episode. Again, thank you so much for joining Blur's Book Club in their little shell cottage. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.